This edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is sponsored by Radio KSCR, variety radio at its best. 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. Diamond Disc Audio, professional mastering at any budget. And Capacity Productions, the number one source in online promotions. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best. Spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com. Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at CapacityProductions.net. Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com.
Diamond Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired gives it up for Earth and the Next Society and their forthcoming album, 100th Monkey. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're giving it up for Earth and the Next Society and their forthcoming album, 100th Monkey. Rockwired had a chance to speak with the band's frontman, Michael Shields, regarding the forthcoming album, and you're going to hear that interview in just a few minutes. But first, here is Earth and the Next Society with Cheap Hustle. That was Earth and the Next Society with Cheap Hustle. Check the band out at their official website, www.earthsnextmusic.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with the band's frontman, Michael Shields, regarding the new music, and here's how the interview went.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, you've got the album 100th Monkey coming out soon later this year, and I understand you've recorded this in your own home studio now.
Yeah, it's probably not best described as a home studio. I moved into a home that was formerly occupied by an L.A. producer that has since moved on to Nashville. He left Sedona, and he left what essentially was the shell of a legitimate studio, and I brought my own gear in. I obtained a large console with the DDA, 48-channel console. So I've set up an environment that's both analog and digital, and kind of a hybrid of a traditional studio and probably more contemporary studio as well.
Okay. And with the work that's gone into putting the album together behind you, what are your thoughts on the finished work?
Well, I'm pretty happy with where it's at. I mean, it has been a long journey to get this done because, you know, initially it started out by kind of building the studio up and kind of developing the idea and the concept of what I wanted to do. And that largely stems from an appreciation for the way albums had been recorded many, many moons ago, back in the golden era of albums, you know, late 60s to maybe mid 70s. And by that I mean is that, engineers, specifically used mic placement and a lot of techniques that I have researched and kind of spent time with in the interest of creating kind of a sonic signature to the work. If you kind of refer to albums back in that day, not only do you recognize the artist, but within just a few moments of hearing, you know, some of excerpts, you know which album it is because the album itself had kind of sonic identity to it. And, you know, it's my attempt at trying to recreate that idea rather than to just sort of clinically go in and record songs with the notion that I've got everything set up, you know, kind of at a median level, meaning that it's, you know, sonically very acceptable and clean and precise in many stages, but, doesn't necessarily have a latent amount of identity within the context of what's actually being captured in the tracking. So the idea is to capture more of that at the time of recording and spend less time in post-production sort of adding those things in.
Right, and the first album where I spoke with you was Live Earth, which was, you know, a live album, and this time it's a studio album. Well, what other differences do you think are there with this album as opposed to the previous one?
Well, you know, the previous album kind of emerged from my developing the band as a live vehicle for my musical expression, it evolved through some players, and I mean, the music was really designed to fulfill kind of the dynamics of a live environment, and I think that's pretty inherent in what you hear in that album. This time round, you know, I looked around at the people that I'd accumulated around me, and actually they're, you know, brilliant musicians in their own right, and felt a lot of their influences as part of what I wanted to sort of convey. So, you know, certain tracks like Nothing But a Cheap Hustle is probably not something that I would have moved into because, you know, it has sort of a early 70s R&B sort of feel to it in terms of the rhythm section and kind of the mood of it. And, you know, I probably would not have been as comfortable going into that space without the players that I have who, you know, are sort of versed in that genre. And so they sort of influenced me to write a certain way. So those are the biggest differences. And I think that, you know, I wanted to create an album that wasn't simply an extension of the work that we had already done previously with the live album, but rather, sort of re-envision what the musical concept is about and draw from all of the influences that naturally wanted to come through as those things were happening. So not necessarily having a deliberate idea about, well, this song's going to sound this way, but rather just working through it and letting a lot of those influence come through naturally.
And just to remind readers and listeners, to tell us who the other players are in this band. Tell me who they are and what it is you think each of them sort of brought to the table that made this work the second time around.
Right. Well, Jimmy Mack is the bass player, and he has a storied career himself, having started out working with people like Sly and the Family Stone, Edwin Starr, and many others, Richie Havens, MC Hammer, a lot of people, and you know, that he just brought an incredible amount of vibe with his own style that kind of added a certain texture to what I already had, and really kind of drove and pushed me in certain directions with regard to influence. And he had a lot of history already with our drummer David Bedell, you know, who's just an absolute incredible drummer in terms of all of the kinds of styles that he can facilitate. You know, he's been highly sought after as a session player for many years in the Southwest. So, you know, we felt really fortunate to have him working with us. And those two, you know, have a certain synergy that existed outside of Earth and the Next Society already. So drawing upon that was really something that I felt would be a really good idea for this album. It would just take it, you know, sonically and from a perspective of influence and in another direction, and just add a lot of texture and color to the palette of what we were doing. The keyboard player, Tom McMillian, is the B3 player that's been with me all along. And, you know, on this album, you know, there were a lot of stretches and challenges in terms of adapting what he had done conceptually with Earth and Next Society to where it's headed. And, you know, so it really brought out a lot of things in the players themselves that, you know, were not necessarily there already on their own, meaning that this wasn't really an easy album to record. We spent a lot of time on it and, you know, put a lot of things down to tape and then, or to disc, and you know, came back and pulled them off and did them again and refined. But I think each of the players involved grew as artists, and the band dynamically has gone through a lot of things, both positive and negative to some degree. I mean, you know, all the relationships and so forth went through you know, a whole myriad of things that, you know, I think are probably analogous to what you might expect from back in the day when somebody spent, you know, 8 or 10 months recording an album. We went through a lot of those things, and, you know, we've come out on the other side very much an evolved and different organism in terms of what the band is dynamically.
And how has the songwriting process changed within this band, if at all?
Well, I don't know so much about changing as it is just sort of being adaptive to what the things are that are around me and making best use of them. You know, my songwriting over the course of, you know, 30 years or more has gone through a lot of different directions. You know, in the 80s, I was kind of pigeonholed as an 80s artist, and, you know, and worked very diligently to kind of recapture my identity as a guitarist. That is what emerged on Live Earth. So, you know, in some sense, the writing hasn't really changed so much as it has been simply an adaptation of what is around me that I'm working with and making best use of those things.
Check out the band at their official website, www.earthsnextmusic.com. From their forthcoming album, 100th Monkey, here is Earth and the Next Society with Awaken Alive.
You came on over. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to announce the rockwired.com Artist of the Month, Boswell, and their new EP, Beryllium. Fronted by vocalists Melanie Hyde and Justin Vinay, Boswell has made that one great step toward industry recognition, and these youngsters with old souls have got what it takes to deliver the guitar-driven goods. Beryllium, the new EP from Boswell, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Check out the band at their official website, www.boswellatx.net. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best, spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com.
Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top-quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at capacityproductions.net. Passionate, fearless, innovative. Gorgeous Media is an award-winning firm specializing in artist development, branding, creative consultation, event planning, music supervision, publicity, and talent management for all areas of the entertainment industry, from music, film, fashion, theater, and art. To schedule a free consultation, email us at info@gorgeousmediagroup.com or call us at 323-782-9000. That number again is 323-782-9000. Without a doubt, the future is looking gorgeous. Visit us at gorgeousmediagroup.com.
Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com.
You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Earth and the Next Society and their forthcoming album, 100th Monkey. Rockwired had a chance to speak with the band's frontman, Michael Shields, regarding the new music, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And one of the songs that stands out for me on this album is Cheap Hustle. Talk about what inspired it.
You know, the song is really about awareness and the fact that a lot of people have come to terms in recognizing the fact that a lot of what they see around them, even things they've taken for granted, are not necessarily on the level that, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on systemically within the media, government, and otherwise that are designed to influence their opinion and their decision-making process very deliberately, and many of them are designed to hustle them into essentially serving the system monetarily, socially, whatever the case may be. And the song is about coming to terms with that. And sort of the analogy that's drawn there is that, you know, some of the vibe, there's a little bit of darkness to the vibe, but there's kind of a Curtis Mayfield sort of feeling to, at least from my vantage point, to the way it's delivered, meaning that it's not a far cry from, you know, some of the Superfly kind of things that were more of a blatant hustle in the early 70s and the way those things were portrayed in an urban environment on the street of that day. So it kind of borrows from that a little bit, even musically and conceptually, and sort of adapts it to, you know, what Earth and the Next Society is as a musical expression. But the point in the music is more or less the same. It's about becoming aware and making a concerted decision not to accept those things, and not necessarily to fight back against them, but to essentially create an alternative path or direction on a personal level to avoid being hustled.
And what about the song Awake and Alive?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit anthemic, I guess, in some respects. Probably more of a straightforward pop song in terms of the way that it was structurally delivered and kind of musically interpreted. And, you know, it's more of a personal awakening song about, you know, how, you know, there's a lot of people who feel that, you know, they have a need to, you know, express what they see and what they've come to realize in terms of what's going on with the social dynamic in society today and how they go about conveying that and getting other people to become aware of it is done on a one-to-one basis. You know, there's a lot of people that get frustrated trying to broadcast information to the masses only to find that information kind of getting squashed, misinterpreted, or misunderstood, and or feeling like it's not getting heard at all. When in fact, you know, if you essentially make one person aware of something that's important in terms of the context of what's around them in a societal sense and the importance of being aware of that and things that they can do in their life as a result of that awareness in terms of their decisions and where they go, they do the same. They tell other people. So while the individual may have a sensation that they've only touched one person, they may actually be touching the masses in a much more profound grassroots way, because it creates this effect where people are again doing that to other people, and in essence that sort of leads to you know, the analogy of the 100th monkey, that you reach a certain level of number where you know, a concept or an idea that may more or less not be mainstream and not necessarily accepted by a lot of people, reaches a certain threshold of acceptance, and then it becomes accepted by the masses as part of our reality. So that song is really about the physical and tangible mechanics that are required for that message to get through one person at a time.
In a lot of the write-ups about this band, there's a lot of talk about the golden age of rock albums, and in listening to the band, that's definitely something you guys strive for in terms of sonics. But how easy or difficult is that to get people to appreciate in the age of the MP3, where music gets shared and you know, musicians don't really profit? I mean, tell me how.
Yeah, I guess the best response that I can give to that is the same response that many of my contemporaries that fall in my age demographic, you know, I'm 54 in August, how they feel about it, that are also, you know, artistic or musically inclined and express music. You know, there's really space for everything. You know, it's not necessarily suggesting that, you know, any other particular path for producing music is not as relevant or is not, you know, is not vogue or what's happening now or whatever the case may be. With the way the industry is today and it's becoming more and more fragmented, there's really opportunity to create a variety of platforms, and we each can seek out and find the things that resonate with us and appeal to us, and this is simply one of those mediums. You know, I don't feel there's a lot of people out there that are constructing albums in the interest of ultimately producing them and publishing them on vinyl. And that's the intention with this album, is that, you know, I have kind of deliberately constructed it sonically, and I'm mastering it in the interest that it's going to be pressed to vinyl. And, you know, it's not a suggestion that this is the path to go and that this is the next greatest thing that's going to happen, but it does suggest that because of there's so much diversity of music out there and creativity, and that the internet and the kind of the breakdown of the traditional system of music delivery is providing a means by which there's viability in almost anything that someone wants to listen to or seek out or produce, and that they shouldn't feel as though they need to follow some trend or you know, some path that's being blazed by somebody else. They can do whatever comes natural to them or whatever their heart feels they intend to produce. And if they're happy with it and they do it honestly and sincerely, there's a good chance that there are others that are going to see it in the same light.
Check out the band at their official website, www.earthsnextmusic.com. From their forthcoming album, 100th Monkey, here is Earth and the Next Society with Goddess of Light.
Thank you.
that's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Michael Shields for his time and his music, and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rock.